You know, that particular medley, you couldn't have picked three more perfect songs for the message today. And as I go into the message today, you'll understand why. But I want to share a story. And, Jerry, I will get even, so just be careful. No, I'm just teasing him. So there was this man, and he was out in his front yard in the grass on his hands and knees. And he's looking for something, and the neighbors kind of noticed that he was looking for something, so they stopped what they were doing, and they went over and they said, you looking for something? And the guy looks up and he goes, yeah, I lost my car keys. So the neighbors joined in, and they started helping him look for his car keys. With no success, I mean, it took them a while, and they finally, with no success, they couldn't find them. So finally, one of the neighbors looked at him and they said, do you really have any idea where you lost them? And the man said, well, of course, I lost them in the house. And the neighbor said, then why are we looking for them out here? And the man said, well, isn't it obvious? There's more light out here. So with that, I know that sounds silly, but that's kind of what we do sometimes. We're always looking for something maybe in the wrong place. Maybe we're looking for the answer in the wrong place. Maybe we're going to the wrong person to look for what we've lost, or directions, or hope, you know, or we have a problem or a situation. Maybe we'll go to a brother and sister in the Lord first, or we want to tell everyone what we're going through. Sometimes we just want to fix it ourselves, right? We just want to think, oh, I can do that. I can handle that. I can do that myself. Then we know the first thing that we need to do is what? We need to go to the Father. We need to seek our answer. When we're not walking in peace, or if we're not walking in joy, or if we have unforgiveness, the first thing we need to do is go to the Father. So with that, I want us to turn to Psalms number 23. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For he makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. It goes on to say, he leads me into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then it goes on, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me, Lord. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In the last two verses, they say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, for I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So that's what I want to talk about this morning, is this particular verse, or this particular chapter in Psalms. The thing about this particular chapter is the fact that it's all about him, who he is, and what he does for you and I. For example, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And he leads me into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's talking about who he is, and it's talking about what he's doing for us. But then also, this particular chapter is also saying something about us, that what's ours, what belongs to us when we belong to him. Isn't that true? Because it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall lie down, I shall not want. And then it goes, and he makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He leads me into the paths of righteousness. So it's talking about in this particular chapter about what the Lord, who the Lord is, but what the Lord can do for us. Amen? So with that, I always like a confirmation on the message that I'm going to do. And so the other day we were having a meeting and we were talking about doing a Bible study. And I went through a number of the books that I have that I feel that maybe would be good for Bible study. And I ran across this one. It says, When God Whispers Your Name by Max Lucado. And again, I was just searching for a book for us to do our Bible study with, but I want to read this to you. This is a confirmation for this message today. In John 10:3, this is the introduction to this book. It says, The sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them. He leads them out. But then it goes on here, and this is Max Lucado's writings. I love his writings. He goes on to say, When I see a flock of sheep, I see exactly that. I see a flock of sheep, a rabble of wool, a herd of hooves. I don't see a sheep. I see all the sheep, all alike, none different. That's what I see. Then it goes on to say, But not so with the shepherd. To him, every sheep is different. Every face is special. Every face has a story, and every sheep has a name. And I love this. It says, The one with the sad eyes, that's droopy. And the fellow with the one ear up and the one ear down, I call him Oscar. And the small one with the black patch on his leg, he's an orphan with no brothers. I call him Joseph. What is this saying to us? It is saying that the shepherd takes a personal he takes every sheep that he has personally. He involves himself into that sheep's life. That's what our shepherd does. He involves himself into our lives. So what is the relationship between a shepherd and the sheep? Well, first off, the shepherd owns the flock, right? The shepherd owns the flock. And when we say the Lord is my shepherd, what we're saying is the Lord owns us. We belong to the Lord when we say that. Why? Because he bought us. He bought us with the price. With the price of his blood, shedding his blood, dying on the cross for us. So we were bought with the price. So if we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, that he went to the cross for us, took our place for us, we're saying that he is our shepherd and that we belong to him. Amen? So what does the shepherd do for the flock that he owns? Well, first, he leads them, okay? He restores them. He protects them. He provides for them. And he loves them. Now, the thing about sheep, when they want to rest, they're such timid creatures that most of the time they don't rest. They stand. You never hardly see a sheep laying down. And the reason for that is that's their only defense is to run. They have no other defenses but to run. So they stand most of the time. Sheep rest when they can see the shepherd. Sheep will only lie down when they see the shepherd. That is the only time that they feel safe. When they feel safe, then they're going to lie down. Isn't there times when you and I feel or experience vulnerability? Or we experience indecision or doubt or fear or danger or worry, maybe about a family member or someone we know? We all go through those seasons in our lives. But the thing is, do we see the shepherd when we're going through those times? Do we look for the shepherd? Because when we find the shepherd, when we see the shepherd, when we sense the presence of our shepherd, our Lord, then we, like the sheep, feel safe and we can lay down and we can rest. In Psalms chapter 4, verse 8, it says, In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. That's what David was confessing. He wasn't looking at the circumstances that he might be going through when he's saying that. What he's doing is he's looking to the shepherd. He's looking to God because God promised him that he would keep him safe. The thing here is, David time and time again would confess what God promised him, what God would do for him. He did not look at the circumstances. He looked to the shepherd. He looked to the one who he knew would keep him safe. So let's look at verse 2 in Psalms 23. He leadeth me beside still waters. Well, the thing is, sheep, when they go to get a drink, they won't get one if the water's moving. The reason for that is if they were to stumble and fall into the water, their wool or their fleece is so thick that when that water hits their fleece, their wool, it soaks the water up like a sponge. So it's hard for that sheep to get back on its feet again. And there's that very strong possibility that if the current's strong enough, that sheep is going to be either washed away or drowned. So the shepherd, what he does is he goes to a section of the river and he will build a dam somewhat where he can allow the water to become still so that the sheep will trust and know that they can go there and drink without fear of being toppled over by the stream that might be flowing at that time. Isn't that what the Father does to us? But how can he do that if we don't seek him? How can he be there for us when we don't take the time to seek him, to fellowship with him, to worship him like we did this morning? You know, like I said at the beginning of this service, I said, Lord, we are here to give you the glory. We're here to open our mouth and praise you and to worship you, lift our hands to you to give you the glory because you are the one that is holy. You are alone are the one who is worthy. Today we want to touch your heart. That's why we're here today, to touch the Father's heart. You know, when we were little, or maybe even when you have a child of your own or a grandchild that comes up and they put their hands out to you, and maybe they've just done something that, you know, maybe they drew on the wall and they shouldn't have, or maybe they, you know, spilled something, whatever. But yet, seconds later, they come up to you and they put their hands out and they want you to pick them up. You can't resist that. Do you think the Father can resist when we come to him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength? He can't resist that. He looks at us just as we look at our little children or our grandchildren or great-grandchildren. He looks at us the same way as we look at our loved ones when they're reaching up and asking to be held. That's how the Father sees us. He doesn't look at what we've done. How many times have we said the scripture, I have thrown your sin as far as away as the east is from the west. I've thrown your sin into the sea of forgetfulness. I remember, and I shared last week about Jesse Duplantis going to heaven, and he had said something to Jesus about something he messed up on, and Jesus said, I don't remember that. I don't remember that. Like David, who wrote Psalms 23, it was hard. He found it hard to find ways to rest. Why? Because Saul was chasing him every turn of the bend, wasn't he? Not only Saul, but he had a dysfunctional family. Absalom wanted the throne too. So if he wasn't running from Saul, he was running, you know, was trying to stay away from his own son who wanted the throne. Plus, the fact that once he became king, he had a lot of responsibility, and he didn't take it lightly because he knew that what he was doing was anointed of God. It wasn't that he was there for his own power, by his own power. He knew that he got there because of God, and he knew that while he was there, he needed to be effective for God, not for his own plan, not for his own purpose, but for God's plan and for God's purpose. It was a big responsibility. He realized he had a lot on his shoulders. But David says this in verse 4 of 23. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, Lord. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Time and time again, David had opportunities. He could have taken opportunities to feel overwhelmed, to feel overtaken by the cares of the world and the pressures of his family. Yes, he did sin. He made bad choices in some circumstances, but what did he do? He did eventually go to the Lord. He eventually sought the one who he knew would forgive him, because he came with the right heart, with the right attitude. Now in Psalms 23, it does talk about resting, lying and resting. And I talked about that with Jesse Duplantis last week, about the fact that he had, was so fired up for the things of God that he was going, you know, almost 300 and some days a year, and the Lord had to sit him down kind of and say, Jesse, you're going to wear out. You're going to burn out. You need to get some rest. And that's what Psalms is saying. You need to rest. There's a time and a place for resting. Why? Because we need to have the strength to follow the right path that God has for each and every one of us. But before I move on to that, I want to talk about two things. The Bible speaks of righteousness in two ways. The righteousness in Christ that Christ gives us, and then the righteousness in which he calls us to. So the first one, the righteousness Christ gives us, is in Philippians 3:9. It says, Paul talks about righteousness found in Christ, not the righteousness found in the law, but the righteousness found in Christ. With that, which comes from the faith that we have in Christ, it takes faith. It takes faith. David had to have faith to continue walking in what God called him to do, because he had so many that wanted the throne, so many that were jealous. But he knew that he knew when he was anointed that he was going to, you know, be where he needed to be and do what God needed him to do. But the thing is this, the righteousness that David received was that from God. But it came because of faith. It depended on his faith. God has given to all of us that measure of faith. We have to use it. That's what it's given to us for, so that we can use it. But that faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word. We grow in faith as we hear the word. As we hear the word, we confess the word. As we confess the word, we walk in the word. As we walk in the word, we're showing God we trust in the word. We trust in him, for God is the Word, and the Word is God. Christ lived a perfect life of righteousness for us. And when Christ died on the cross, that same life, that life of righteousness that Christ had, was offered to you and me. Every one of us have that opportunity to receive that righteousness. That righteousness in Jesus becomes ours when we become his. Sounds like a pretty good trade, right? Amen? And guess what? That's all the righteousness all of us will ever need. The righteousness of Christ, that's all the righteousness we will ever need while we are here. Amen? So, the righteousness in which he calls us to, in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Right there, what it's saying is, we have a choice. We have a choice. We can go the way of the world, or we can go on the path of righteousness. We have a choice. We're always given a choice. You know, I heard the other day on the radio that, you know, God could have made us like robots and told us that, you know, we are just to love him and be like robots, but then it wouldn't be love. So when we have a choice to love him, he knows it's real. It's not something mechanical. It's something that you desire to do. That's what love is, a desire to be a servant, to love others, to walk in the things of God. It's a desire that you want to do. So when we give that love, not only to the Father, we give that love to others, it's a desire, it's a thing that we want to do. We're not robots. He didn't make us that way. So then it's real love. It's love. And it's love that overcomes and accomplishes great things when we serve God. The Lord will always lead us into the paths of righteousness. So when we sit back and we think, are we going the right path? Then you need to sit back and go before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not sure on this. I'm not sure if this is the direction that you would have me go. And if you don't see peace in it, this past week, dealing with an issue, and I kept going to the Lord with it. Lord, I'm not sure what to do with this. Lord, I'm not sure what direction to go with this, and I need your help. And I happened to have lunch with a former pastor friend of mine, and I kind of shared with him that I was, dealing with this decision. And he said, Bonnie, he stopped me right in the middle of the meal, and he goes, where's your peace at? Where's the peace at? And so he talked about this way, and he talked about this way with this situation. He goes, which way do you see peace? Which way do you see peace? I knew the answer right away. I knew it right away. But sometimes God will send others across our path. But the point being is, I went to the Lord first. I didn't go to someone else first. I went to the Lord first and said, Lord, I'm not sure what direction I'm supposed to go with this. I'm not sure the right decision to make with this. And so, and I'd had this planned to have lunch with these people for 2 weeks. And it was just at the right time, at the right place. And I needed guidance. I needed direction. And it's not that that person made the decision for me. They were saying, where is your peace? Is it here in this decision, or is it here in this decision? Which path brings you the most peace? And as I said, I knew what it was, and I was able to deal with it and accept it. Because my flesh wanted to go a different direction with it. So again, God will bring others across our path. The right path will not always be an easy path. The right path might take you through a valley, like it says in verse 4 of Psalm 23. And then in verse 5, it talks about he takes us through the presence of our enemies. But even there, we will find peace. We will find the Lord is with us. In Mark, here's an example. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go to the other side of the lake. And Jesus led them into what? Into a storm. He led them into a storm. But then, in that experience, they saw his glory. They saw the glory of God. But not only that, they saw God's faithfulness. They saw that they could trust God even in the storm. But if they had not gone through that storm, their faith would not have grown. And I'm sure when they went through that storm and they experienced the glory of God in that situation, their faith excelled. It just took another step up because they saw the glory of God and they experienced the glory of God. And it caused them now to even trust him more. If God brings you to something, he's going to bring you through it. If he brings you to it, he's going to bring you through it. And there may be times when we go through these situations where we're saying, God, where are you? I don't see you. I can't feel your presence right now, Lord. But know that if you get quiet and still before the Lord, you will experience his presence. You will experience that peace that passes all understanding. He promises us that he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. But we need to not look at the circumstances around us or the situation we might be going through. We have to stop the world and get off for a minute. Get down on our knees or get in a quiet place. Get in our prayer closet. Get in a place. It could be out in the woods. It could be next to a pond. It could be in your bedroom. Wherever it's at, Just get in your quiet place and say, Lord, it's just me and you now. It's just me and you. I've shut out all the busyness. I've shut out all the cares of the world. I've shut out the turmoil that I'm going through right now. I just want you. I just need you. Reassure me that you got this. Reassure me by giving me peace. I need your peace today, this moment. When we try to discern the right path, God will bring, like I said, others across our path to help us. We don't need them to make the decision for us, but they come across our path to help us, like this pastor helped me. Help me, you know, get my eyes off of the issue and get my eyes back on, okay, this is what it is, but where do you find the peace? The good shepherd brings their sheep to the field, and they graze and they enjoy on the feast. But guess what the sheep do? Those sheep are going to stay there, and they're going to keep grazing and keep grazing and keep grazing until they've eaten all the grass and eaten everything else in sight, and the field is barren. The thing is, the shepherd's going to move them on. Even though there's still grass there, the shepherd's going to keep scooting them along, keep moving them on a little bit further. Why does he do that? Because he wants to continually nourish his sheep. And when we look back and we see how, you know, Jesus took the disciples across the lake, he put them through a storm, but in a sense, he was moving them along. He was bringing them, yeah, to a valley, to a storm. But in that valley, in that storm, they were nourished by that experience. And when they were nourished by that experience, their faith grew. Their relationship and their trust of the Father and with Jesus, that trust grew because they experienced the glory of God. God is no respecter of persons. What he's done for one, he will do for you. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He will always move on your behalf. It might not look like it at times, but if we be still and get in his presence, we will hear the Father. We will experience the glory of God's favor and blessings. But what's our job? What's our part in it? We have to stop looking at all of the things that are going on around us and get our eyes focused on the shepherd, because we are the sheep. We belong to him. Amen? So, we are like the sheep, though. When we get in a comfort zone, we don't want to move ahead. We want to stay where we're at, because we know that maybe ahead there's some rough roads or some decisions that we might have to make that we don't want to make. We get out of that comfort zone when the shepherd scoots us along. And the great thing about the shepherd is what? Our shepherd, he does it with such love. And like I said in the opening, he knows each one of us. He knows our character. He knows each one of us. He knew us from the beginning of time. He knew us in our mother's womb. So when we're looking for the key, that key of being maybe direction, we're looking for direction, or we're looking for hope, or we're looking for peace or joy or fulfillment, or maybe we want a void filled, and we don't know even why we feel anger or frustration, because there's an emptiness in us, there's a void in us, and we're not sure why or what that void's all about. We just know that we're anxious. That's a key of saying, this is the time that I need to fill that void with God, with his word, with his fellowship, with his presence. Because there's going to be a void that if you don't have Christ in your life, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there will always be a void in you, and you will always feel a sense of anxiousness, because that void is the void that only God himself can fill. No one else can fill that. The answers that we seek, or the directions that we're looking for, they're only found when we have that intimate time with God. But that intimate time with God is only found when we experience the presence of God. I pray that, I really pray that when you come here, that you do experience the presence of God. It's not about me. It's about you coming here and expecting to feel the presence of God. You don't need to necessarily know the way to get where it is you want to go. But you need to stay close to the one who knows the way. The way and the path to righteousness. And that's only through Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message today. And Father, we know that you are faithful and that you are the good shepherd and that you lead us and you guide us. Help us, Father, to trust in you, to wait upon you, to seek you in every season, every avenue, every road that we go down, Father. Holy Spirit, we ask that you remind us to stop. To stop and to seek you in your direction. What you would have us do. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.